Welcome to episode 13 of Talking Impact Investing, a podcast about impact investing, ESG factors, and sustainability. I'm your host, Matej Suszec. This episode features a conversation with Guy Athia, an expert on stakeholder governance. Guy is the CEO at Guy Athia & Partners, a company focused on designing and implementing stakeholder governance for customers in Europe, Latin America, and beyond. Guy has prior to that worked with multiple Fortune 500 companies and has made a mission of implementing and customizing stakeholder governance solution for every client. In this episode, we talk about what stakeholder capitalism even is, what are some of the key elements the firm should consider when it comes to stakeholder governance during the ongoing war in Ukraine, and what are the differences between smaller and larger companies when it comes to their ESG involvement and governance. Without further ado, let's dive right in. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, likewise. Can you first tell us more about your background and how you got involved with the stakeholder capitalism, which is currently the core of what you do?
Yeah, indeed. I believe in, you know, purpose. So I spend most of my corporate career dealing with non-financial stakeholders for Fortune 500. And I felt that I was a second tier executive compared to sales, finance, because I was not able to provide universal KPIs to measure the return on investment. And since the Business Roundtable published its manifesto in 2019 about stakeholders and then the World Economic Forum, et cetera, I started, you know, thinking about how to help this movement. It's happening. So that's what I am now.
Great. Now, giving some historical context, in the early 1930s, Merrick Dodd was one of the first ones that talked about how companies can profit more than just based on shareholder capitalism, but rather when they include and consider other stakeholders as well. Guy, can you talk about what are some of the relevant stakeholders and what is their impact on the financial success of a business?
Yeah, there is a new environment. So we have to focus on what's going on now, but we have to think about, you know, this is a new generation. This is coming. So corporate social responsibility, ESG, and stakeholder capitalism is just an evolution. But now what's happening is an explosion of the influence and power of stakeholders over companies. And you can say, well, that's the effect of social media connectivity. That's the fact of sensibility to ESG issues. And I believe on that. But the most important thing is companies are perceived as co-responsible for pressing issues such as racism, inequality, diversity. So they are not separated from governments and non-financial organizations. So that's why this combination of stakeholder influence, power, and companies' co-responsibility or interdependency is, you know, driving this new business environment. So companies are adapting or innovating to succeed in this new era of capitalism.
Absolutely. And that's the core of your work, as you help companies and their senior management people make great decisions through stakeholder engagement, management, as well as governance. Can you talk a little bit more about what you do, but also about some of the challenges that you face?
Another good question, Matej. What I am doing now is helping companies implementing the so-called stakeholder governance. And in general terms, that means incorporating ESG issues and stakeholders, relevant stakeholders in their governance, from the middle management to the board. And the way I propose is very simple. So there is no one size fits all. So every company can adapt their own governance to incorporate their own relevant stakeholders in a way that matches their purpose. So they will navigate through different situations. They will not please all their stakeholders, but they have to anchor their purpose, their relevant stakeholders in their purpose. So that's the way I am helping companies. Today, I'm working with the B Lab Global, supporting multinationals on implementing their stakeholder governance in different regions in the world.
And given the war in Ukraine, is there something that the businesses are facing that you're trying to help them in that regard, given the situation as well?
Yeah, that's a very, very hot topic. It's happening, right? So again, we are facing a new global challenge as we faced during the pandemics. And as we saw during the pandemics, many companies, many corporations putting stakeholders on top of shareholders. So that's a very important element of what's happening now with the war in Ukraine. Many companies are deciding on behalf of their stakeholders beyond sanctions, beyond legal requirements. That's the first thing. The second thing is there is no one size fits all again. And there is no science behind that. So what that means, some companies are still paying their employees in Russia, are still paying their suppliers in Russia, but some others are decided to not leave the country because of their employees and suppliers and consumers and the whole ecosystem. So that's a very tough decision. So if you are in a different sector, for instance, if you're in luxury, maybe you think, well, my product, it's not, necessary for a certain period of time. But even though you have suppliers, you have stores, employees, etc. On the other spectrum, you are on the pharma industry, and you are supplying medicines for the pandemics, so then you have to make a different analysis about your presence, your footprint in Russia. So what I am doing is I am helping some companies in defining what's relevant for them in the short and long term. So the difference between what I am doing and crisis management is that normally crisis management, they focus on immediate decisions. And what I am doing is working with them, but to look at what the decision that they are analyzing can create an effect for the long term for the company. So in a practical term, one of the things that I am implementing is using one or two board members as sponsors to help us navigate and see through this, see the North Star, say, well, okay, so this is what's happening now, but in 10 years from now, what would be the consequence of our decisions? And the best, ones in the company to help you to, assess this are the most senior members of the board of directors. So that's what I am doing. Also creating a criteria. So they have four angles on how to place their decision that could be, effective for the short and long term.
Thank you for sharing that. Beyond the war, and maybe even like more like a trend in the past couple of years, have you noticed a trend where like the things that you convey to the CEOs, to the senior management in regards to the shareholder capitalism, are they having different responses that they perhaps had in the past? And would you say that there has been a global progress made in the regard of ESG, where companies do care about the environment and their shareholders as well?
Yes, not only from my inputs. I'm very one of the many working on stakeholder capitalism, but I see different organizations, small, large, and small, changing the way they do business. Some of them because they are reacting from the pressure of their stakeholders. Some are because they would like to compete and they would like to, succeed in the new era. And some others because they believe in what they are doing. And the majority of them are, combining the three points that I just mentioned. And effectively, what you see is companies are changing in different perspectives, but also in different regions. So you see more, social investments or social changes in the U.S., while more governance developments here in Europe, while in South America, you see more on the environmental issues. Companies, for instance, in Brazil, they would like to show, to demonstrate, to make it clear that they are very, very sensitive to the Amazon forest or, other sensitive issues. While in the U.S., you have you know, a big movement of people today, and they would like to attract and retain talent. So that's a very good, very important challenge for American companies. It's not so different in Europe, but European companies are more long-term oriented. So in that sense, they think about governance before. So again, they are moving in different ways, small and large companies, trying to be certified to implement metrics, change their leadership culture, and ultimately change their governance.
Excellent. I think those are great insights, especially the differences culturally and location-wise. It really caught my ear when you talked about the differences between small, medium, and large companies. And I imagine there have to be different strategies since some of the companies are way bigger, more established, while others are just starting up, building their culture. What are some of the differences in the strategies as well as metrics that you help them develop?
Yeah, but there is one common thing among, you know, small and large, or large and small, is about investments and return on investment. So the bigger you are, the bigger is the investment, and vice versa. However, you know, if you have cash, you have to think twice about where to put your money, right? So even if you think about just the three letters ESG, you have a lot of opportunities. So where to start? What's the best thing to do now and for the upcoming years? What could be a game changer for our relevant stakeholders, communities, NGOs? So that makes this decision very, very difficult. Even if you have metrics, sometimes what you have is, okay, I can manage it, but I cannot just decide based on a set of metrics. I have to make a decision. And what I see that makes a difference between companies, small and large, is that some companies, they have a agile decision-making process and an inclusive leadership. The combination of both makes a difference. So if you have a board or a CEO or both that are willing to make a change right now, then you see a big difference. But if they have other things at the table, or they are not so well convinced about what they can do or why they can do it, that makes a big, you know, they will be not ready right now. But what I say for them to make them think twice about starting a change right now is that I say, you know, 10 years ago, I remember, you know, companies were saying about digital economy. Everyone was talking about digital economy. There is no more digital economy nowadays. You know, there is only economics. In 10 years from now, I don't see that we'll be discussing stakeholder capitalism. This will be part of capitalism. That's it. It's simple like that. If you think about millennials becoming the majority of the labor force today, and this is already changing things, imagine the newer generations coming. They are more connected, they are more sensible to ESG issues, and they have more power than any other generation to ask for changes or to make changes. So the question is, companies delaying their decision is not helping them and not helping the society at large.
Absolutely. And I think this is a really great answer, way beyond the question that I ask. And it's a great answer for everybody listening, because there is so much more to all of this and to the future. So thank you for sharing that. One more thing we've discussed before is that you're going to be publishing a book pretty soon. Can you give our audience a little bit of insight, a little bit of preview for what they can expect?
Yes. I'm working hard on this book for the last year. And it's a book about how, not the why. Mainly, I start by defining the why, but I go directly to the how. How can you incorporate, how can you include your non-financial stakeholders in your decision-making process? Or how can you expand your relations from transactional to organic, but in a way that makes sense for everyone, makes sense for the company? At the end, it will be, you know, making the company succeed, even more profitable. But how to make this possible? Imagine that today a CEO is already a busy person with a lot of things to decide, to understand. So if you include more things, more issues, more people, that could be, you know, feasible for them. So that's what I am trying to explain in my book, how to do that. And what I am doing is leveraging my 30 plus years of experience dealing with non-financial stakeholders in, you know, different organizations in different regions to see some patterns and see how can we help, especially from my mistakes and few victories, and say, well, let's try to make this, you know, those few victories as a system. So the book will be based on a system that proved you know, successful in other regions, in other companies, but not with the same structure that I am including the books. So I'm researching to make it more, universal, so that could apply to anyone in a very, very plain, very simple language without jargon, without a lot of difficulties and complexities, because I think that stakeholder capitalism is a bipartisan term, subject, interested to everyone involved or not involved in business. So that's the objective of the book, and the book will be probably released during this second semester.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And once it's published, we'll make sure to feature it on our social media so people can access it if they want to. And I think it's a great resource that is going to come out for different companies, as you mentioned before, to be a part of the change of the stakeholder capitalism and to prepare for a successful future, because sooner or later, this will be how business is done rather than how some do it.
Absolutely, Matej. Thank you very much. And I will be very happy to talk to you again.
Likewise. Thank you so much for your time, for joining Talking Impact Investing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for staying with us until the very end. You can stay up to date with the upcoming episodes by subscribing. And if you found any useful information, feel free to leave a 5-star review and follow Talking Impact Investing podcast on social media.